You are now listening to the Online Course Podcast, the place where online course creators come to learn how to sell more of their online courses. Here's your host, Jono Petrohilos.
Okay, hello everybody. Welcome to the Course Creator Community Podcast. I am super excited because we've got a very special guest this week. And if you've been listening to the podcast a while, you follow me for a while, you'll know that I'm obviously Australian and I'm also a super passionate Australian as well. Love my country, love my culture. And most of the people we interview on this show are usually from the other side of the world, you know, usually American based. So this week I've got someone that's at least based in Australia. It's maybe debatable whether she's Australian or she's from the UK. I consider her Australian. We'll see what she considers herself, but I'm going to claim her anyway. She lives in Perth. She's been here 15, 20 years. She's pretty much Australian, if not completely Australian. A little bit about this person. She's the host of the Courses That Connect podcast, the place where she helps people turn their expertise into an online course. If you're listening to this podcast now, chances are you listen to podcasts. So I'd recommend straight away press pause on this, go over and subscribe to Lisa's podcast there because it is a good one. She's also an admin of the Facebook group, the Course Creators Club. I'll put the link down in the show notes so you can click and join that group there. She's a teacher. She's a launch coach. She's a fast-talking Gemini like myself. I'm a 9th of June guy here. So, without further ado, let me introduce the one and only, my fellow Australian, Ms. Lisa Kanibe. Lisa, how are you?
Hello, Jono. Thank you so much for having me today. And congratulations, fellow Gemini. I'm excited. put your seatbelts on, everyone. This is going to be a fast-talking podcast.
It will. Let's get one thing out of the way. Australian or UK or bit of both?
Bit of both. I'm a hybrid. So roots are in the UK, but home is in Australia. So 16 years and it very much feels like home here. Can't imagine ever living back, you know, back in the UK. But we obviously miss family over there for sure.
Yeah, similar. Well, sort of similar to myself. I've got to call myself a Greek Australian just by the name. Never lived in Greece, never born in Greece, but you know, with a surname like mine, I've got to say I'm Greek Australian, but I'm pretty much Australian. But anyways, Lisa, I like to start all my podcasts off with a quote or mantra that inspires you or fires you up. Have you got one for us?
I sure have. So this is a quote that came to me when I was 12 years old. It's super simple.
So just a couple years ago, so about five or 6 years ago, right?
Exactly. It's know thyself, the Socrates quote. So basically that was inscribed as a gift from my father to me when I was 12, when he gave me my horoscope. So my dad was an astrologer. That wasn't his main occupation. That was obviously his interest. And I had my natal chart gifted to me as a Christmas present when I was 12. And inside was the know thyself quote. And I've literally lived my life by that every day, every year. So yeah, that is very much my mantra.
Yes, love it. I'm a huge Socrates fan myself, a fellow WOG, you know, a fellow Greek. So I'll respect him. And yeah, I feel once you know thyself, like everything else becomes easier, right? Every decision becomes easier. You know whether something's going to be for you or against you. So I love that there. Lisa, I've been following you for a while. I listen to your podcast. I'm in your Facebook group. So I know what it is you do. But if anyone's listening to this podcast and they haven't heard of you before, let us know. In a nutshell, what is it you do and how did you get into it?
Fantastic. Thank you for asking. So I help coaches, speakers, and authors to unpack their genius and then turn their superpower into an online course that scales for them. So it really is about putting more of them in their business and finding what that unique skill is so they can share that medicine with the world.
Yes, love that. And you do that via coaching, via an online course yourself. How do you help people?
Yeah, in both of those ways. So one-to-one coaching, combination of like a contained space for people to develop their skills through group programs. So with an online course, I've got like a self-paced course, but I find that the best outcomes always come from having that space where people are held. So the course is complemented then with a coaching program that goes along with it. So yeah, across all of those avenues.
Awesome. I'll put the links down in the show notes as well. And if you're interested, you listen to this podcast, you're like, oh, Lisa's pretty cool. Go and check over what she does. I'll put all her links in the show notes. Now, Lisa, what I was hoping to speak about today is mainly mindset. Huge part of any business, right? Especially in the course creator space. Like, you can have everything else going for you. You can have the best platform. You can, you know, read all the books on social media and sales. But if your mindset's not in order, chances are you won't be successful. And on the flip side, you know, if your mindset's in order, you're going to find a way to be successful. You're going to obviously need the tactics as well, but, you know, it's just going to be so much easier. So I was hoping to hand it over to you from here. And what can you tell us if a course creator is listening to this and maybe they know it's their mindset getting in the way, maybe they don't know it's their mindset getting in the way. What are some tips that we can help them there? I'm going to hand it over to you and let you do your thing, and I'll chime in if I've got any insights.
Oh, thank you. That's so awesome. So I always think that when it comes to our mindset, we often are completely misguided in that we think it's skill set that's holding us back. So if we're coaching, we're successfully working with our clients, and we really would love to do an online course, and we think, I don't know where to start, I don't have the skills. But actually, the skills are really quite straightforward. They're just a simple set of steps, but it's the mindset stuff that holds us back. So I tend to think that it's really 80% mindset, 20% skill set. And that's why, as I've evolved in that course creator space in terms of my own journey, but also helping others create their courses, I've realized that, you know, like I talked about unpacking people's genius and finding the superpower, my superpower is holding the space to keep you out of your own way so that you can actually enact on the skill set. Because the skill set's there. We can find, you know, lots of different people delivering that. But the reality is, if you can recognize that mindset is what is going to be your absolute key, and like you said, in any aspect of business, that's going to be the thing that's going to be the difference between actually taking action and getting your course out there and riding the roller coaster of launching, or sitting back and procrastinating and worrying and not feeling ready. So, yeah, so that's where I'm so passionate about mindset and, you know, how that impacts. I don't know if you found it yourself as a course creator that, you know, certain there's things that come up, whether you see that in your clients or in your own behavior. But I definitely think there's a few things I see regularly. So, for instance, imposter syndrome. And this sounds like, so I'm going to give them a name and then I'm going to tell you what it kind of sounds like. Because imposter syndrome usually sounds like thinking I'm not expert enough. I'm not, I can't be an authority in this space. Who am I to say this thing? Or I need another qualification before I do my course. And really, all of that comes back down to questioning your own level of expertise. And we can pretty much bunch that into imposter syndrome.
Okay.
Do you see much of that in your community? Or
yes.
Have you?
Yes, heaps. Community, friends, you know, fitness, because my background's in the fitness industry, that as well, clients. So let's spend a minute there, Lisa, because I think this is a good one where a lot of people listening to this are probably like, oh, shit, that's me, you know. Do I know enough? These people are there, you know. There's more experienced people doing this, more qualified people doing this. You know, who am I? How do we work around that? What do we do? What's some tips or some strategies we can use?
Yeah, sure. Well, I think, like you say, often that also looks like comparing yourself to others and thinking that someone, you know, bigger, better is out there with a gazillion followers and you know, they're making it and you can't. So I think the first thing with this is to really, you know, settle into who you are, because like if you take that on faith that we are 20% skill set, 80% mindset in what we do, then just because others are teaching the skill set doesn't mean that you aren't going to be able to help people shift in the mindset, because the mindset is about identifying with your teacher. I don't know if you've heard the expression that students learn teachers. Used to be years ago, it would be boys learn teachers, right? So I come from a teaching background and we would always learn that mantra, boys learn teachers. But I would actually expand that and say students learn teachers, not subjects. So if you think you're all about the subject, which is often where our fear of not being expert enough begins, I don't know enough, I need the qualification, have I been in the industry long enough? It's actually nothing to do with the subject. the subject you do need to have some skills and expertise in to help to be able to lead others in that space. But as long as you're 2 to 3 steps ahead of the people you're leading, then we're well away. But it's the space you hold for mindset. And that usually comes through, even if you're not consciously thinking, I'll hold this special space around mindset. It's around your personality and about that secret source of being you. And once you know what's unique about you and that amazing talent that you bring to the game, that other people are just not going to be, you know, you are uniquely you with your package of skills, experience, personality, buzz, whatever it is. That's what makes people want to work with you. And, you know, that's the whole thing of learning the teacher. It's your personality that will enable someone to go from, you know, maybe I've had people done, Amy Porterfield's courses, they've worked with Grace Lever, but they've not been able to break through something. And then they come to work with me and I'm the right secret source for them. So it's just around knowing that you do have something super special there and unpacking that and believing in that.
Yes. Wow. Okay. So much good bits of information there. Let me let me break this down, because I feel like you could just pause. If you've got imposter syndrome, you could just pause this and just watch this 5 times and take notes and solve all of that. But I think there's some really good points there. Let's even start with just the simplest. So, okay, you only need to be 2 or 3 steps in front. And I might give some fitness analogies here as well, because a lot of this sort of stuff works well with people that want to get fit and fitness coaches and that too. So we can use the example of, say, Arnold Schwarzenegger. You know who he is, right? You know Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
cool, awesome. So let's just say, you know, my mum wants to lose a few kilos, right? Is she better off going to Arnold Schwarzenegger, or is she better off going on to some, maybe a woman who's the similar age of her, that's been through a similar journey and she can relate to more, right? Not saying that woman is a better personal trainer than Arnold Schwarzenegger, or has more qualifications, or, you know, has more experience. No, they don't. But that doesn't mean they're not going to be better for my mum there, for whatever it may be. Let's use the Amy Porterfield example. Both me and Lisa are in that space there. It could even be a matter of something, and not saying this is right, but it could be a matter of someone's like, oh, well, she's in America. You know, it's easy to do it if you're in America. I'm in Australia. Do these things work in Australia? Well, hold on. Lisa's doing these things in Australia and it's working. Jono's doing these things in Australia as well. You know what? I might go to one of these people here, you know? It could even be the specific system. You know, okay, cool. You know, Amy Porterfield teaches a launch type of system. Okay, maybe, you know, Lisa teaches a membership site system or whatever it may be. There's just so many differences in there, which I think is important. And then just the personality side of things. You know, it's like, I don't know anyone that every single person in the world likes. Even if you're the most likable person in the world, someone's going to have a dig at you. You know, you're too serious, or you're too funny, or, you know, whatever it may be, someone will have a dig. So instead of being like, oh, I can never be like that, cool. Let's use an example might be Instagram Reels. You know, there's a lot of business coaches dancing in Instagram Reels. You know, I could never do that. So, you know, if you're tossing up, you're like, well, hold on, you know, Amy Porterfield, she dances in Instagram Reels, you know, she's got that side of things. Oh, I'll feel a bit uncomfortable if I try and be her and dance in Reels. Oh, hold on, here's another system where I don't need to do that. So I think that in a nutshell, you nailed it with settle into who you are, you know, and it goes back to your first quote as well, know thyself. Like, once you've got that, everything is so much easier, and then even the confidence side of things as well. Once you know who you are, if someone's like, well, Lisa, why should I go with you and not Amy Porterfield? Could be like, well, you can go with Amy Porterfield. That's fine. You know, she's great. She does amazing things. Here's me. Here's what I'm good at. If you like that, go with that. If you don't, see you later, bye. There's a million other courses out there. It's just so much easier frame to go in. Would that summarize some of what you said there?
Absolutely. And I think I love the way you give examples, especially like you say, the Reels example really resonates for me, because I am so not a dancing person on Reels.
Yeah, I would lose followers if I did that, I'll tell you now.
Exactly. And it's that sinking into who you are. And I know that when I first started in my business, this was about over 5 years ago now, I very much had that, you know, like we all probably have, that imposter syndrome. And I was always looking for validation outside of myself, like the next qualification or the acceptance of this. And soon after several experiences of doing those qualifications and thinking this would give me that sense of permission to be who I am and own that space, it really was, you know, that self-awareness that it actually all comes back to just the more successful I was when I was really sinking into who I am and grounding in me and allowing more of that to shine through. And once I realized that, oh, you can be quirky, you can be you, you don't have to try and look like other people, that's so liberating and also a little bit scary, because it's like, wow, now I really have to, you know, like you said, just kind of fill up on who I am and be unafraid to go out there and share it. So yeah, all of those things you said, fantastic examples.
Love it. I want to piggyback even further still, because this stuff really relates with me in my first business when I was running a fitness boot camp. I had some similar experiences where I was super insecure about running my boot camp. Because if you look at me, you know, I'm not the biggest guy. I'm not the strongest guy. I'm not the fastest guy. I don't have looks like a supermodel or anything like that. And I thought, oh, that's what you need to be successful, right? Yeah. And then I heard this one quote. This is one of my favorite quotes ever, which is, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Oh, I love it.
And I was like, hold on. Maybe I can't be the muscliest guy or the best looking guy. But you know what? Maybe I can care more than anyone else. Maybe that could be my superpower, you know? I'm just going to be that person that cares more than anyone else. And then as soon as I implemented that into my business, I skyrocketed. And I was actually more qualified than most people. I was an exercise physiologist, but I still sucked as a personal trainer because I wasn't, you know, looking into my own side of things. So it was like, you know what? That's who I am. I'm a guy that cares, you know, let me show that. And then there was actually a rival boot camp down the road from an Olympic Games gold medalist, Lauren Eagle. I don't know if you know her. Probably shouldn't have mentioned her name, but that's right. You don't know her anyway. Most people listening won't know her anyway. But she ran a local boot camp. She was an Olympic gold medalist. My boot camp was busier because I was using my superpower there. Yes. So I think that's important. And then the other thing that I realized as well when I was running this fitness boot camp is there's so many different forms of fitness, right? Some of them you like, some of them you don't like, some of them other people. It's unlimited. And I tried to sort of cater for what was popular. Mm-hmm. But when I was like, you know what? Hold on. I'm just going to run the fitness session that I like doing, that I like training as a trainer, and that I like doing myself. And what happened from there is heaps of people left because they didn't like that style. That's fine. But then heaps of people stayed with me for life because they liked that style. And then more people came in, and it was just the best experience ever. Because it's like, man, I'm just doing what I love every single day, and everyone around me also loves doing this as well. There's no better feeling. So I love that you brought that up.
Yeah, and that whole niching, you know, in effect, that's what you've just described. It's very daunting because, like, you do have this desire to be available for everyone, and especially if you are a caring person who wants to help, which, you know, 99% of entrepreneurs are driven by that need to make a change and help, then you feel like you're not helping by not being available to everyone. But in fact, the opposite is true. The more honed you become on who you are and who you help and how you do that and stand out for something different, the more, you know, popular and more magnetic almost you become.
Bang on. And also I think it's better for yourself as the business, but also better for the business world. Like, let's say let's just use me and Lisa as an example generically, right? Let's say I'm a membership site guy, you know, hey, your first course should be a membership site, right? Once you've got that mastered, then go and do a course. That's my style, right? Anyone that comes to me and doesn't want to do that, I can try and help them and change my whole system around. Or I could be like, hey, that's cool. We don't want to do it. No dramas. Go and speak to Lisa. She's the expert at that side of things. And then it could be the other side as well. Someone's like, oh, Lisa, I want to do a membership site. She's like, I'm more a course guy. Hey, go and see Jono. You know, he recommends doing that there. It's a win-win because it's like, instead of me trying to do everything and instead of Lisa trying to do everything, great, we've just got one thing that we can be the best in the world at. Cool. You know, someone wants that thing. Great. Go to us and get the best service in the world. You don't. Great. Go to the other person. And it should end out equal anyway. You know, it should be like for everyone that you're saying, hey, sorry, I can't help you, go and see this person. There's someone else sending people your way as well. So I think it works better with the ecosystem.
Yeah. In fact, interesting you say that because I've just, you know, over the last 18 months, started helping people with courses in general and then realized that actually my gift is helping people with signature programs because I'm coming from that education background. I'm all about that student experience. Now, I know we all are about our student experience, but often that means adding group coaching. Mm-hmm. And I'm a huge fan of that extra layer of support. But when you're doing a $27 program, like a tiny offer, you're not adding group coaching into that. So I just find that, that's where I've just done exactly that, which is to say, yeah, I'm actually all about the signature programs. And as much as I'm fascinated by all those other courses, that's not my zone of genius to operate in.
Yes, so. Love it. Awesome. All right. Imposter syndrome. Done. You're listening to this. You can't use that anymore. Just watch this over and over again until you're over it. What are some other mindset issues we see, Lisa?
So the other ones that come up in particular are overwhelm. So people just stop taking, and this kind of links into procrastination as well. So we get overwhelmed and we've got so many moving parts in terms of thinking about creating or launching our course that we just sink, and it just feels like I don't even know where to start because I've got all these pieces moving. And I think that overwhelm then can lead to that procrastination, which is where, like, I don't know where to start, so I'm not going to start. So you actually have all the steps, but you're just not taking action on them. And often you're putting it in the diary. So you think time is the issue. So I'm not spending enough time, so I'll schedule appointments with myself. And then you constantly break those appointments to yourself. So you just, or you're, you know, procrastinating scrolling, you know, whatever it is, that means that you are avoiding doing those online course creation activities or launch activities. And I think that that's a really big one. And I don't know about you, but I still get hit with, you know, the overwhelm and the procrastination. But it's about, so I think this is one that never goes away. Same as imposter syndrome, next level, next devil. You always have that sense of, aha, I'm feeling imposter syndrome again. But I think with the overwhelm and procrastination, it keeps coming up. So it's one that you want to really find some good tools to manage. So for me, with imposter syndrome procrastination and overwhelm, I tend to have a couple of steps. One is I really like us to start observing when it's happening, because often we don't even know it's happening. We just get ourselves in a tiz. So suddenly I'm all over the place. My desk is covered in bits of paper everywhere. I've got 20 million tabs open and I'm up and down from my desk every 5 minutes. And I'm like, now I want to start observing physical things in my body that are happening. So maybe I'm breathing faster, or I'm more agitated, or I'm going to the cupboard every 5 minutes looking for something to eat, whatever it is that we're using as these little buffers. Also then looking at what's happening in my world. So in work terms, procrastination and overwhelm often leads to, for me, lots of dipping in and out of multiple things at once. Like, oh, let's answer an email. Let's check next week's calendar. Let's quickly respond to this. Let's just post on Facebook. Let's do a Canva thing. So it's bang, bang. And I suddenly feel very scattered. And what I'd like people to do, if they're recognizing this, is to observe when that's happening. So start to become really self-aware around, when is this kicking in? What am I avoiding? And then, you know, the next question is asking why. Why am I doing this? What's coming up for me? So either why am I feeling overwhelmed? Or why am I procrastinating? And asking, I sometimes use that technique, the five whys. So
yeah,
like,
love it.
It's super simple, but you kind of drill down into why that's going, what that's going on. And often it can be, you know, sometimes overwhelm is literally about just you've got yourself into a chaotic state and you've come off track in terms of you've got a thing you want to do and you've moved away from it. And then we'd go back two steps and think, why did you get off track? Because sometimes the thing we stopped doing on our plan was the thing that actually just makes us super uncomfortable or feel really vulnerable or feel afraid. And so really it comes back to a fear of what we had to do. Other times procrastination, I think, can be, I don't know about you, but as a Gemini, I get bored very quickly. Yes. So it's a constant battle to stay connected to the vision. So when I'm having to do the boring bits of the job, which are, they are there, I'll procrastinate on that. And that will then stop me getting my things done that I want to launch. But I have to come back to, what's the vision for this? Reconnect to the why. Because boredom procrastination is about not being connected enough to your why. So yeah, so that's those two that come up there, and sort of getting really clear around what's going on and observing yourself. checking in with why, and then looking at, you know, how you can unpack what's at the root cause of that.
Yes, no, love it. I'll piggyback there. I love the observing and knowing when you're overwhelmed. So one of my strengths is actually time management, and still regularly I'll get overwhelmed and I actually get bad headaches. But now I've realized it. It's like, man, why have I got this bad headache? Then I'm like, oh, it's because I'm overwhelmed. I'm trying to do a million freaking things at once. Let me just simplify it. Okay, what's my goal? Okay, this is my goal. What's the one thing I can do to get me closer to my goal? It's going to be that thing there. Great. All this other crap, I'm going to put it to the side. It's got to be done, but it doesn't have to be right now. As long as I do that one thing that's going to bring me closer to my goal, it just brings it a lot clearer. It gets rid of a lot of overwhelm, but it still helps me with that focus where it's like, okay, it's not like nothing's getting done. It's like, okay, this one most important thing is getting done. So I think that's important there. I love the five whys. I'm a big Tony Robbins fan. Do you listen to Tony Robbins much?
Yeah, I love Tony Robbins.
Cool. Yeah. So the best course that I've ever done is Tony Robbins' time management course.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, amazing. Best thing ever. It's affordable as well, maybe $200-$300. Mm-hmm. It's on audio CDs, right?
No way.
So all it is, I bought it, because my laptop doesn't have CDs, you know? I had to get some converter on eBay so I could plug it in and listen to the CDs. But it's literally the best thing ever. Like his time management is amazing. And just a couple of his major strategy is, all right, what's your goal? What's your life goal? Mm-hmm. Why do you want that life goal? Why do you want that? And I'll use myself as an example. Mm-hmm. So my goal, let me have a look at my goal board up here. Let me think of the best way to describe it. All right, cool. So my goal, to simplify it, my goal is to pay off my property. So I've got investment properties. My goal is to pay them all off. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, well, why do you want to pay them off? Okay, well, I want to pay them off to be financially free. Okay, why do you want to be financially free? Okay, well, look, if I've got this amount of dollars, I can live the lifestyle that I'm living at the moment without having to work. And then, you know, any money I make from work, okay, great. You know, then I can do, you know, other stuff with it. Okay, why do you want to do that? And then if you keep going deeper and deeper and deeper, you know, it dives in. I just get really specific. Okay, cool. This is exactly what I want to do. And then once I visualize that, I can't wait to work. I don't care if it's the most boring task in the world. I'm just so motivated. And then it'll go down. It'll be like, all right, cool. So the first thing I need to do is pay off this one home loan. How do I pay off that one home loan? Well, I need to make X amount of sales in this business here. Okay, how do I make X amount of sales in this business here? Okay, here's the next thing I got to do. And it brings it so much clearer. So any of the listeners, I'd recommend have a clear goal, get down to your five whys, put it up on your wall, and then it's so much easier to overcome that. Yeah. So I love that. Any insights there, Lisa?
Yeah, well, absolutely. Like you say, that connection to your vision, but drilling down into it, because often we have like a big or a vision statement, but it doesn't have heart meaning, you know, like it doesn't resonate inside in a feelings way. Yeah. And we have to feel super connected to feel motivated to do the hard things or to do the boring things or to just keep going when, you know, you're not always seeing the instant rewards that you might like to see. So I think that's it. That's really those five whys. And I love the way you expressed that with drilling that down into, you know, from your vision right back into the why of why am I doing this today. Really motivating and empowering. And so if you are hitting those overwhelm or procrastination walls, those are the techniques that you can tap into, and super simple as well.
Yes, agree. Okay, you got one more for us, Lisa. We've spoken about imposter syndrome, we've spoken about overwhelm and procrastination. You got one more common thing you see?
I would say the biggest thing I hear is I don't have time. So we are so, we throw this one around a lot. We throw it around all the time, you know, regardless of where we are in our journey, but often, especially if we're quite busy with our one-to-one work and we really know we want to change our business model to have that more passive income stream coming in and have it through a course or a membership. And, but we are busy in our work. So we're saying, I don't have time because that's how it feels. But really, I think I don't have time is I'm not making this a priority. Mm. And when we change the language and say, instead of saying, I don't have time, saying, oh, I'm not making that a priority today. It's the same with like exercising. Yeah. You know, I'm not making my health a priority today. Yeah. I'm not going to make my eating a priority today. And it's like, really? It really gives you a little pinch. It's like a wake up call around, hello, is that? And then you go back to that vision of, well, what do you really want and why do you want it? And then it's like, well, actually, I need to prioritize time. So time's such an, you know, it's one I, like I say, whenever I have course creators coming to me and we're sort of asking those open forum questions, time is always the battle. And I just think that's almost the easiest one to win because it's really just a perception of your priorities.
Bang. I love that one because, yeah, it brings me back to the fitness world. That's without, and that was, you win every time in fitness with that objection handle. It's like, oh, I don't have time. Okay, you know, so what I'm hearing you say is your health and fitness isn't a priority. Is that right? And it's like, it's funny because my mum always uses that one, you know. She's like, nah, I don't have time to exercise. Well, what do you do all day, Ma? Well, I've got to do the cleaning. I've got to do the washing. I've got to do the ironing. Okay, so are you saying that the ironing is more important than your fitness? Is that what your ironing is more important than your health? Is that what you're telling me? You know, she gets a bit angry and I can be a bit cheeky because it's my mum. But really, like, it's true. You know, like everyone's got the same 24 hours. It's just what are you doing those 24 hours and how much do you want it? I'll use another example. I'm just going to say my friend because I don't want to say any names, right? So I've got this friend, same argument, and I use that argument on her. I'm like, hey, you know, everyone's got the same amount of time. And she's like, well, not really, because, you know, some people have got more to do in that time. She goes, let's say, for example, she's got a friend. So she's like, hey, I've got this friend. She's married to a guy. That guy is super rich. So, you know, she only has to work part-time. So she's got more time to exercise than I have. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, depends how you look at it, right? Like, you know, you're living in a one bedroom or you're living in an apartment on your own in the middle of Sydney, right? Do you need to do that? You know, maybe if you got a roommate, well, what was it talking about? Well, maybe it was the money argument where it was like, I've almost stuffed up this story, but either way, it'll still work. It'll still work, right?
Like you said, we're deluding ourselves, basically. We're giving ourselves an excuse and wrapping up the real issue, which is I'm not prepared to invest in myself or prioritize myself. Exactly. It's really a permission issue, isn't it?
That's it. And I remembered where I was going with this story as well. I was like, okay, why don't you work part-time? You know, that was the argument there. She's like, well, I need the money. And it was like, okay, well, why do you need the money? You're living in an apartment in the middle of Sydney, you know? Maybe if you had a roommate, okay, you know, all of a sudden there's a whole heap of money coming in. Maybe you can take a few shifts off, a few sessions off. You know, hey, maybe you don't need to live in the middle of Sydney, you know? Go and move, you know, 30 minutes out of Sydney or whatever, and it's cheaper there. And then you can take a session off or whatever it may be. So that's the way there. And even personally with myself, when I was in the when I was working all in the fitness industry, my fitness started to suffer. Right. And I couldn't sign up for a gym because I was training people every night, you know?
Yeah.
But then I was like, hold on, you know, like what's more important to me? You know, my health and fitness is. So I had to cancel two nights of work. It's about, you know, $200-$300, which is a lot of money for me in those times, you know? It's like I'm going to lose $200-$300 a week in income. And then I'm going to spend another $50, you know, signing up for a boot camp as well. It was a big thing. But as soon as I did that, my business grew because I was happier, I was healthier, I had more energy, I was sleeping better, I was less anxious, less depressed. So, you know,
like walking your talk, isn't it?
Exactly.
And it's hard. It's hard to walk your talk.
Yes, agree. And there was one more thing I was going to say with time there. And then also, yeah, as you said, priorities, like, do you really want to be a course creator? You know, like if you're telling me, oh, I don't have, you know, an hour a day or whatever to work on my business, do you really want to be a course creator? Do you really want to be an entrepreneur, you know, or do you just half want to do it if it's easy, you know? And if you half want to do it because it's easy, because you think it's easy, it's probably not going to be successful, you know? But if you really want to do it, you find a way, you know? Do you can one one-on-one session? Do you get up an hour earlier? Do you cancel your hour gym class and work out half an hour at home? There's always a way if you really want it. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, so true. And I think, you know, while you were talking, I was just thinking, I think we suffer from this sense of being addicted to our story of busy. So we like, there's a sense of satisfaction in being, I'm so busy, I'm so busy. And it starts to become almost like a comfort zone for us to be caught up in busy, because when we are busy and saying we don't have time, we're actually giving ourselves a comfortable reason to not do the you know, the uncomfortable things, which is maybe stepping out into this new space where imposter syndrome comes up and all the other stuff. So I think we get this sense of comfortable busy, even though we complain about it, we're actually quite comfortable there. And then like you, walking the talk definitely resonates for me around I need to take regular play breaks, and I get really, I just bang out my day really full on. And I forget that no amazing breakthroughs happen at the desk. I need to be out, whether it's walking the dogs, on the beach, whatever it is, I need to be away from the desk and build that into my schedule. And I don't prioritize that, I don't get the creative breakthroughs. And that's a challenge as well, because you just like say that addicted to busy and the I don't have time. So we're all in that cycle together. But again, it's just that self-awareness of what's going on and then checking in on, you know, what kind of excuse is coming up for me on this one and why.
Yes, agree. Awesome. All right, cool. Well, I think there's some three good tips there, Lee. So there's just a few questions I like to always end this podcast with. The first one is around course hosting platforms. Now, my opinion, it doesn't really freaking matter. They're all good. They've all got advantages. They've all got disadvantages. I've got my favorites, but I'm curious to hear if you've got a favorite platform or what platform you host your courses on.
Oh, such a topical, pertinent question, because I'm actually in transition. So I'm breaking up with my current platform and I'm moving to a new platform. So this is like, oh, the first time I publicly told people this. But I've been hosting on Teachable for probably 3 years.
Yep.
And but I've just found that there's a level of limitation around what I want to do with the ease I want to do it. Yep. So I'm not a particularly techie person. So I chose Teachable because it was super easy and it has been very easy to use. But then there are certain things that I just feel like I have multiple different tech having to integrate into that. So I'm actually moving to Simplero. Okay. So I've got a couple of friends who are, you know, I've coached them with their courses. They've gone with Simplero and they are evangelical about the platform. So I'm like, it looks good. It seems amazing. I like how easy it is. And I've got a network to support me. And I think this is actually a really great point, is that who can support you, you know, in helping if you need some tech help? Have you got someone in your back pocket? And that's a good reason to choose a platform, because you do, you know, need some support at times.
Yes. Interesting. Okay. So because I've got two businesses, right? I've got my fitness education business and my course creator community business. In the fitness education online business, so I still use Teachable.
Uh-huh.
I started same reason as yourself. Hey, it's easy. It's got everything I need. Yes. But really, it's not just Teachable I use there. It's Teachable, it's ClickFunnels, it's ActiveCampaign, it's Zapier. You know, it actually adds up, but I'm too deep now. I got like 40 courses in that side of things there. For me to change all of that would be a nightmare. But with the course creator community, I use New Zenla, and I really like that because it's all in one. It's got everything I need there. So I would, if anyone, and this is just my personal take, right? If anyone's listening to this and is starting, you or only has like one or two courses, I like New Zenla. We'll check out Simplero as well, obviously. But that's the limitation for like a Teachable, you know, it's like, it's not just Teachable you're getting, you know, it's numerous different things there.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's it. I've never in courses that connect, I never teach to a single platform. I'm very much about you need to work out what's right for you. And I'm pretty keen on first time course creators using like a minimum viable product model. Yeah. So really simplifying, because a tech is another mindset block that comes up and says, I can't do the tech, so therefore I can't move forward. And it's actually like, let's take that away. Let's actually remove the tech and do it all via Facebook and email. Yeah. Now can you do it? And it's like, actually, now I know something else is holding you back. It's not the tech. So I think, yeah, definitely for early course creators, less tech is more. Once you get deeper into the launching and the strategy and stuff, you will want to build out on a more advanced platform, I think.
Yes, agree. Okay. Next question is around mentors. So you're obviously a mentor for plenty of people out there, Lisa, that want to create their online courses. I'm curious to who your mentors have been. And if you could answer this in a few different ways, if you could give us a book that you read and you recommend every course creator should read, if you could give us an unpaid mentor, So someone you've never paid money to, but you follow them on Instagram, you watch their YouTube videos, you're in their Facebook group, whatever it is, and then a paid mentor. So someone that you've paid money to and they've either you've either done their course or they've been your business coach.
Mm. All right, I'm going to answer that in reverse order. That's the easiest one to come to mind. So my paid mentor, over the years, I've had numerous different mentors. But I work at the moment with Jo Bendel, who is a she's a UK coach. She's actually originally a productivity coach, but I didn't go to her for productivity. I went to her because she's now realized, like so many of us, that productivity is actually about mindset.
Yeah.
And so now she brings, she's really just the most awesome mindset coach that has amazing productivity tools. So I love that. She keeps me super accountable. And that's been a really awesome sort of investment this year. In terms of someone I follow, I'm following an absolutely fantastic copywriter at the moment. Now I'm going to just have to, her name's Dani, but I can't remember her last name off the top of my head. So but I think she's in the US, but she does storytelling. So originally in my business, I was a copywriter. That's where I started back, you know, 5 years ago. So I'm still very heavily into copy and messaging, and especially in relation to our launches. And I'm in great admiration of brilliant copywriters because, you know, when you do it well and when you can teach others, it's a fantastic skill. But what Dani does really well is share some amazing, like so you can sign up to her email list and just follow her and she'll give you some amazing tips on storytelling emails. So especially for email nurture sequences, so nurturing people into your lead magnet and into your audience, or converting people through your emails in pre-launch and sales emails. The storytelling skills that she demonstrates every time she writes an email are just brilliant. And then what was the first one you started off with? Remind
you
me.
You got a surname for her so we can check her
I'm
out?
I'm just going to, I'm just Dani Page. So okay. P-A-I-G-E. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Yes, really worth following. And yeah, what was the first question?
First one was book.
The book. Oh, I think the book, I read this and then I bought everybody a copy. So it's probably going to have to be the most influential, is The Big Leap.
Okay.
So it's, so we just get the surname of the guy. Bear with me.
I'll do a bit of a summary while Lisa's doing that. So, oh, you got it there. There we go.
Gay Hendricks. So it's got a really distinctive cover with the goldfish jumping out of a little bowl into a big bowl. Okay. So, but yeah, so that book was just all about your upper limits. And it's very relevant to course creators as we hit those upper limits around whether it's money, mindset, and all those bits. So I think definitely that was one that as I start to feel resistance, I am really conscious of that. And that's made me super aware of, you know, how that's playing out on and what your success, you know, like your kind of, you're primed for a certain level of success and how your tolerance for success has to be incrementally increased or you just hold yourself back at the same level. So yeah, really fascinating.
Love it. Yeah, I agree. If you think you're a $100,000 person, you're going to make $100,000.
Yeah.
You think you're $1 million person, you're going to make $1 million. You think you're a $10 million person, you're going to make $10 million, you know? So it's how can we have that leap there? I don't think I've read it. I've heard that book. I was trying to look on my bookshelf there. I don't think I've read it. So I'm going to have a better look when we get off this call. And if I don't have one, I'm going to buy it straight away because I've heard a few people recommend that.
Yeah, it's on audio as well. I'm a big fan of audiobooks. So it's one that is not too challenging to listen to. I've had the paperback as well, so I then can kind of cross-reference.
Yeah.
But I find some of the really great books are challenging on audio because there's lots of activities to do during them, whereas this one's a really just a good listen as well.
Well, I'll definitely check that one out. There was Dani Page. Yeah, I think copywriting's, when it comes down to it, probably the most important marketing skill. You know, it may not be the most important to start with because there's so many things you got to learn, right? But I think long-term, it's probably the most important because it's like if you can write good copy, you're going to get people reading your Facebook posts. Then you're going to get people reading your emails. Then you're going to get people reading your sales page. You know, and if you don't have that copywriting, it's hard to scale. You know, you obviously can get on. You can do Zoom calls, webinars, you know, chatting the DM and all that stuff's good, but that takes time. You know, yeah. If you're a good copywriter, it's just so much easier to scale. So I think that's...
And I find that once we've got a course, so initially we're focused on how to get the course created and then mm-hmm. how to get it out to our audience and then how to sell it once or twice. But once you've sold your course once or twice and you're, like you say, you're scaling, it's often about that messaging and attracting the right people. And you've got all the right pieces of the puzzle in play, but something's off on the messaging from the beginning mm-hmm. of your funnel to the close. And it's like, that's where that gift of, you know, going through that and with a fine tooth comb, really, and seeing that overarching messaging coming through. And that's my other love. I'm a copy coach as alongside my course creation activities. That's my, you know, where my copywriting led eventually into the coaching side of things. So yeah, that's exactly right. It's such an important set of skills.
Agree. And then there was the paid mentor. Yeah. So what I like about your paid mentor, what I've found is, a lot of the mindset experts that have just studied mindset, is something a bit off, you know, but if it's like, not always, but sometimes, right? Mm. But a lot of the time, if someone's successful, the major reason they were successful is because of their mindset. And it just so happens that you're like, man, I want to, a lot of the mentors that I've picked have been because of their mindset. I'm like, this person has a mindset that no matter what they did, they'd be successful. That's what I want to learn. Yeah. You know, I'm going to hire this person to mentor me. Even if they're a business mentor, I'm mainly going there to see how they look at things and how their mind works. So I think that's important. That's where I think a lot of the true mindset coaches come in, right? They've been successful in a business or they've probably been a business coach. And then they're like, hold on, it all comes down to mindset. Let me share the mindset things that have helped me run this business as opposed to the strategy.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's it. You know, productivity tools are not exciting. I would not have been signing up for that. I would have been like, yeah, something else. But when she wrapped that around, you know, the why of what you're doing and why you're not connecting and whatever, that was what was really speaking to me. Because to me, that solves the problem at its root cause. And it just translates across all the other aspects of your business.
Yes, I agree. Awesome. Well, Lisa, I could talk to you all day, but I want to be sensitive of your time. That's pretty much all I wanted to cover today. Is there anything I should have asked you but forgot to, or is there anything you want to finish us off with?
Oh, great question. What would I love you to ask me that you didn't ask? Goodness. I think where I'd love to be in 3 years' time.
Yeah, there we go. Where would you love to be in 3 years' time, Lisa?
I would love to be running my business from my own yacht, sailing around the world.
Love it.
So I hope to be a blue nomad someday with my husband. And I've been designing my business to move around the world with me and be location independent. So hence that move away from that one-to-one done for you service of copywriting and into that more one-to-many service of coaching and courses. So yeah, the dream is alive. This year it was the year we hope to actually be on board at some point and starting to build towards a blue nomadic future.
Love that. Well, I'll keep an eye out on your social media.
And yeah, sure.
That post, you know, I'll like it multiple times and be like, you know what? I interviewed Lisa 3 years ago. She told me this and here she is.
Yeah. And when we sail into Sydney, let's hook up in person.
Sounds awesome. All right. Well, Lisa, thank you very much for your time. Everyone listening, make sure to go and check out Lisa's podcast. It's the Courses That Connect podcast. So go and check that out. Lisa, I'm going to leave you to it.
Thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure. Awesome. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please share it with your friends. And don't forget to leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. Check out the show notes for more free resources on how to sell more of your online courses.